Mrs. Cole, still continuing her friendship, offered me her assistance and advice towards another choice. But I was now in ease and affluence enough to look about me at leisure. However, one day, Mrs. Cole, in the course of the constant confidence we lived in, acquainted me that there was one Mr. Barville, who used her house, just come to town, whom she was not a little perplexed about providing a suitable companion for, which was indeed a point of difficulty, as he was under the tyranny of a cruel taste, that of an ardent desire not only of being unmercifully whipped himself, but of whipping others, in such sort that though he paid extravagantly those who had the courage and complaisance to submit to his humour, there were few, delicate as he was in the choice of his subjects, who would exchange turns with him so terrible at the expense of their skin. But what yet increased the oddity of this strange fancy was the gentleman being young, whereas it generally attacks, it seems, such as are, through age, obliged to have recourse to this experiment for quickening the circulation of their sluggish juices and determining a conflux of the spirits of pleasure towards those flagging, shrivelly parts that rise to life only by virtue of those titillating ardours created by the discipline of their opposites, with which they have so surprising a consent. I had never expressed, nor indeed felt, the least impulse or curiosity to know more of a taste that promised so much more pain than pleasure to those that stood in no need of such violent goads. What then should move me to subscribe myself voluntarily to a party of pain, foreknowing it such? Why, to tell the plain truth, it was a sudden caprice, a gust of fancy for trying a new experiment, mixed with the vanity of proving my personal courage to Mrs. Cole, that determined me, at all risks, to propose myself to her. Accordingly, I at once pleased and surprised her with a frank and unreserved tender of my person to her, and her friend's absolute disposal on this occasion. My good temporal mother was, however, so kind as to use all the arguments she could imagine to dissuade me. But I persisted in my resolution, and thereby acquitted my offer of any suspicion of its not having been sincerely made. Acquiescing then thankfully in it, Mrs. Cole assured me that, bating the pain I should be put to, she had no scruple to engage me to this party, which, she assured me, I should be liberally paid for. That for her part, she considered pleasure, of one sort or other, as the universal port of destination, and every wind that blew thither a good one, provided it blew nobody any harm. That she rather compassionated than blamed those unhappy persons who are under a subjection they cannot shake off to those arbitrary tastes that rule their appetites of pleasures with an unaccountable control. I stood now in no need of this preamble of encouragement, of justification. My word was given, and I was determined to fulfil my engagements. Accordingly, the night was set, and I had all the necessary previous instructions how to act and conduct myself. The dining-room was duly prepared and lighted up, and the young gentleman posted there in waiting for my introduction to him. I was then by Mrs. Cole brought in and presented to him in a loose dishabille fitted, by her direction, to the exercise I was to go through, all in the finest linen and a thorough white uniform, gown, petticoat, stockings, and satin slippers, like a victim led to sacrifice, whilst my dark auburn hair, falling in drop curls over my neck, created a pleasing distinction of colour from the rest of my dress. As soon as Mr. Barville saw me, he got up, with a visible air of pleasure and surprise, and saluting me, asked Mrs. Cole if it was possible that so fine and delicate a creature would voluntarily submit to such sufferings and rigours as were the subject of his assignation. She answered him properly, and now, reading in his eyes that she could not too soon leave us together, she went out, after recommending him to use moderation with so tender a novice. As soon as Mrs. Cole was gone, he seated me near him, when now his face changed upon me into an expression of the most pleasing sweetness and good humour. After a competent preparation by apologies and encouragement to go through my part with spirit and constancy, he stood up near the fire, whilst I went to fetch the instruments of discipline out of a closet hard by. These were several rods, made each of two or three strong twigs of birch tied together, which he took, handled, and viewed with as much pleasure as I did with a kind of shuddering presage. Next, we took from the side of the room a long, broad bench, made easy to lie at length on by a soft cushion in a calico cover. And everything being now ready, he took his coat and waistcoat off, and at his motion and desire, I unbuttoned his breeches, and rolling up his shirt rather above his waist, tucked it in securely there. When directing naturally my eyes to that humoursome master movement, in whose favour all these dispositions were making, it seemed almost shrunk into his body, scarce showing its tip above the sprout of hairy curls that clothed those parts, as you may have seen a wren peep its head out of the grass. I led him then to the bench, and according to my cue, played at forcing him to lie down, which, after some little show of reluctance, for form's sake, he submitted to. He was straightway extended flat upon his belly on the bench, with a pillow under his face, and as he thus tamely lay, I tied him slightly hand and foot to the legs of it. Which done, his shirt remaining trussed up over the small of his back, I drew his breeches quite down to his knees. And now he lay, in all the fairest, broadest display of that part of the back view, in which a pair of chubby, smooth-cheeked, and passing white posteriors rose, cushioning upwards from two stout, fleshful thighs, and ending their cleft, or separation, by an union at the small of the back, presented a bold mark that swelled, as it were, to meet the scourge. Seizing now one of the rods, I stood over him, and according to his direction, gave him in one breath 10 lashes with much good will, and the utmost nerve and vigour of arm that I could put to them, so as to make those fleshy orbs quiver again under them, whilst he himself seemed no more concerned or to mind them than a lobster would a flea bite. In the meantime, I viewed intently the effects of them, which to me at least appeared surprisingly cruel. Every lash had skimmed the surface of those white cliffs, which they deeply reddened, and lapping round the side of the furthermost from me, cut specially into the dimple of it such livid weals as the blood either spun out from or stood in large drops on. And, from some of the cuts, I picked out even the splinters of the rod that had stuck in the skin. Nor was this raw work to be wondered at, considering the greenness of the twigs and the severity of the infliction, whilst the whole surface of his skin was so smooth stretched over the hard and firm pulp of flesh that filled it, as to yield no play or elusive swagging under the stroke, which thereby took place the more plumb and cut into the quick. I was, however, already so moved at the piteous sight that I from my heart repented the undertaking. He, encouraging me earnestly to proceed, I gave him 10 more lashes, and at length I continued the discipline by intervals till I observed him wreathing and twisting his body in a way that I could plainly perceive was not the effect of pain, but of some new and powerful sensation. Curious, I approached, and stroking the untouched and unhurt side of the flesh mount next me, then softly insinuating my hand under his thigh, felt the posture things were in forwards, which was indeed surprising. For that machine of his, which I had, by its appearance, taken for an impalpable, or at best a very diminutive subject, was now, in virtue of all that smart and havoc of his skin behind, grown not only to a prodigious stiffness of erection, but to a size that frighted even me, a nonpareil thickness indeed. The head of it alone filled the utmost capacity of my grasp. Resuming then the rod and the exercise of it, I had fairly worn out 3 bundles, when, after an increase of struggles and motion, and a deep sigh or two, I saw him lie still and motionless. And now he desired me to desist, which I instantly did. And proceeding to untie him, I could not but be amazed at his passive fortitude, on viewing the skin of his butchered, mangled posteriors, laid so white, smooth and polished. Now all one side of them a confused cutwork of wheels, livid flesh, gashes and gore, insomuch that when he stood up, he could scarce walk. In short, he was in sweetbriars. Then I plainly perceived on the cushion the marks of a plenteous effusion, and already had his sluggard member run up to its old nestling place, and enforced itself again, as if ashamed to show its head, which nothing, it seems, could raise, but stripes inflicted on its opposite neighbours, who were thus constantly obliged to suffer for his caprice.